I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And that's saying something from a man who is not prone to hyperbole. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, to talk about the politics of this. How you doing, Andy? Andy?
I'm doing well, but I like your last line.
Well, I don't understand. What?
From a man not prone to a hyperbole.
Oh, is he? I didn't know. Let's talk about the politics of this, because the Democrats, the first thing I thought of was this. Democrats are jumping up, and Hakeem Jeffries and some Republicans, Rand Paul, if he's an independent, whatever he is these days, I don't know, are saying that this is going to be a killer, that he can't do this, they could try to stop him. I say, politically, if I'm the Democrats, or if I'm not a fan of President Trump, let him do what he wants. Let him stand or fall on his own merits, because, as he says, he has a mandate and the people voted for this, and that's what they want. So if he indeed is going to make America great again, I have a soundbite where he says he's going to make America wealthy again. Give him a chance. If it doesn't work, it's on him. If it does work, then happy days are here again. Thoughts?
H.L. Mencken had a great quote that democracy is a system of government in which the common man knows what he wants and deserves to get it, good and hard.
Yep, there you go.
And,
all right.
You're right. There's going to be political consequences. There are going to be economic consequences, and one follows from the other. The economic consequences are that things are going to be more expensive, and your 401k is going to be worth less, at least for the short term. Now, but the long term for what might happen because of this, it's hard to say. We haven't been in this situation for ages, but the last time we did large increases in tariffs, it was in the midst of the Depression, and it didn't end well. But in the short term, 2 years or a year and a half now, I think this is going to hurt Republicans, because the stock market is, as you see, dropped fairly significantly yesterday, might recover a little bit today, but it's not going to go up that much anytime soon, and the price of goods are going to go up. So I think Republicans will probably end up losing seats, probably potentially both the House and the Senate in the 2026 midterms. And then, we'll see things move around.
I've been candid about this on the air. I don't know if I said it to you or not, but my financial guy told me back in November, December, get out the market. Who knows if tariffs are going to crater the economy or not. So I pulled a bunch of money out, and I have enough in secure vessels so that I can pay my house off if I need to. So I can watch this somewhat detached because I took his advice. And we're going to talk to a professor of economics later on about the economic aspects of this. When it comes to the political part of it, people are talking about, and I know this would be in your wheelhouse as part of history, going back to Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act and the golden days of America. And I think what people might be conflating is that it's a different world economy today than it was then. And the world's different than it was then.
Yeah, it is different. But the trade system that we currently have in place, or we did until yesterday, really started post-World War II when the United States was the only economic power left in the world. Everybody else was pretty much destroyed. Their economies were destroyed by the war. So we could do what we wanted for a lot of years there. Good in the 1950s, 1960s, even to the 1970s, we were by far the biggest economy. We really didn't have competition. That competition started. What did we start doing? We started putting in tariffs on steel, on automobiles and so forth, because we use tariffs as a political tool. They're not a fundraising tool per se. They're a political tool.
They were originally, right? A fundraising tool?
Well, yeah, they were McKinley? Because we didn't have an income tax. Income tax was not legal.
Right.
But the biggest problem, and I've gone, you and I have talked about this, it goes back to Congress abdicating their responsibilities. Congress has the power under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution to regulate the collection of duties and imports and tariffs and so forth. But there's a law passed in 1934, the Reciprocal Trade Agreement, which basically the logic was, well, the president needs to move more quickly on tariffs, so we'll let him go on a state-by-state basis, country-by-country basis, and raise or lower tariffs. That got expanded twice to the point where Congress really doesn't have much control over tariffs anymore because they gave it up. And now they're going to be pointing the finger, both Republicans and Democrats, Democrats definitely, at Trump saying the tariffs are a bad thing. Why are you doing this? Well, Congress had the power to stop them all along, but they've given that up, like they've given up a lot of their powers.
So when it comes to the president saying that there's going to be a little bit of pain before reward, how does the voter view that? And how much pain are they willing to put up with? And how would they view a reward, regardless of how a man who is not prone to hyperbole spends.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think, first of all, you got to think of the time horizon. In 2 years, in the 26 midterms, Republicans were not likely to do well anyway. The president's party almost always loses seats in the midterm elections, and the both House and the Senate are so close, it's such that Republicans would likely lose control if one, if not both of those. This is going to amplify Democrats to prove to them. Democrats can use this to prove to them that they were right and Trump was wrong, and they need to have some to claw back power in Washington. I think that you're going to see, if the prices go up, inflation goes up because of this, that Republicans are going to be disappointed and not going to show up as much like they did in 2018, or like they didn't do in 2018. So these cycles are there, and I think that politically, in the short term, this is definitely going to hurt Republicans. But in the long term, this is part of a bigger shift. So the Republican Party used to be the party of business, the party of the economic elites. It's not anymore. It's the blue-collar party. You notice that one of the Democrats that isn't complaining about this are senators and congressmen from Michigan. Mm-hmm. They like this because it's protection of industries like the automobile industry in Michigan. And you see the UAW president now suddenly kind of friendly to Trump after being very antagonistic towards him during the 2024 election campaign. So follow the money, see who gets helped. We're having a major shift in the alignment of the political parties. It's been happening over quite some time, but this is only going to further solidify that as the Republican Party no longer really being the party of business, I think.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back and talk about Mike Johnson having his rear end handed to him on proxy voting, what all of that means. 621 traffic now, WWL. President Trump yesterday, as he announced Liberation Day and tariffs, somebody texted in again and again and again. Why is it okay for other countries to place tariffs on American goods but not okay for America to reciprocate? That is a question for Peter Ricchiuti, the professor of finance at Tulane. It'll join us at 7:15 right now. We're talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Yeah, I'm going too fast here, Andy. Tell me about what's going on with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House from Louisiana, and proxy voting.
Well, this, I think, starts with the showing how close the House of Representatives is divided, equally pretty much between Republicans and Democrats. Johnson can't afford to lose any votes. Proxy voting is something that's fairly popular among both, certainly Democrats, but partially Republicans.
What is it, Andy, proxy voting?
It's to allow people to vote by proxy because they can't make it to the chamber themselves. Mm-hmm. So I can give my vote to you and say, here, go deliver my vote to the Speaker of the House, the head of the House there, so you don't have to be there. And it's pushed by two women who say it's not fair for women after they've had a baby to have to be in the House to vote on these things. It kind of keeps them from being able to participate. That got support by Anna Paulina Luna, who's a Republican from Florida. And so there were enough votes for that to go through to be discharged. That's what's called a discharge position petition. So you can have a vote on the floor for it. Johnson didn't want that because he can't afford to lose a vote here or there. He wants to know exactly who's in that room when there's voting going on.
So it comes down to face to face, right, Andy? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. You have to be in the room to vote. You have to be able to say aye or nay if somebody calls your name. What happened then?
But I'm saying, let me just jump in 1 second. That's what Mike Johnson wants. Mike Johnson's saying, no, you're going to vote against me. You're going to stand here and do it in front of me, basically.
Well, it just requires any vote that goes in the House of Senate, the House right now, to be in person.
Right.
This would allow you to not have to be there in person, not just this particular vote, but any vote.
Gotcha.
But the thing that's interesting is that Johnson tried to stop this. The Speaker of the House really has enormous powers, and one of them is that he can use kind of special rules to prevent issues from coming to the floor of the House. He can keep them aside, essentially. Well, that's where he lost the vote, because there were 9 Republicans that went along to prevent this from happening, because they said, you know what? They've got the votes. They've got the votes for the discharge petition. This should go to the House, and House floor, and we should vote on it. And that's why Johnson basically stopped everything from happening, because he doesn't want this to go forward. It's kind of a delay technique, a stalling tactic to try to prevent this from happening in the future. So he's going to twist some arms here over the next few days to try to get the people to pull back on this, or try to make some sort of a deal. But it's certainly not something that helps his power as a speaker. But I think all of it is a result of the House so evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats that the Republicans can't afford to lose a vote.
Have you ever heard of stick voting in Louisiana, Andy?
No, I have not heard of stick voting.
It's kind of like proxy voting, what they used to do, and I don't think it's legal anymore, but one legislator, when the other one wasn't there, would have a stick and lean over and press the other one's button to vote for him. I swear to God that's true.
I like that.
Yeah, stick voting. Well, thank you, Andy.
Who'd have thought that would happen in Louisiana?
Crazy stuff, huh? Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll take a break. Talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, when we come back. Time now, WWL First News.